It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Give me a hell yeah!
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, OB Scott and the Blonde Bomber. And Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, a.k.a. we'll hear from Moneybags here in a little bit. I have the latest for you. The latest is, one, Clint Sterner is out today. He will be back he'll be back tomorrow. I don't know the time, but he'll be back tomorrow. And 5 o'clock fire is presented by Kirk Holmes. I do want to get to the Texans injury report, but this just coming in from Jane Slater, the status of Dak Prescott. He partially tore his hamstring tendon off the bone.
Oh my God!
I'm told it typically takes more than a 4-week recovery. In some cases, they let it scar over. The hell?
They
let it scar over, repair, and then strengthen. With that being said, Prescott is seeking another opinion, which is why.
I would too.
Nah, man. Hell no. Nah.
Off the bone.
I'm out, Jack.
Nah, off the bone. I need to hear from somebody else.
We 3-5 heading to play the Eagles. What are we talking about here?
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't have time to have a bad time.
What are we fighting for?
Yeah.
What am I fighting to get back to? If you're Dak Prescott. I mean, you got to pull a 2021 Laramie Tunsil at that point. Or was it 2022? Whatever year that was. 2021, I think.
Hello.
Yeah. I mean, you got to go ahead and do that.
Well,
I understand he just got the contract, but no.
Because would it happen on a throw? God, dog, what the hell did you have to do to tear that thing off the bone?
That just sounds so painful.
And he was just over there standing.
He was. But these guys do some weird stuff when they get injured, like standing, walking off the field with torn ACLs. Like, they're different.
Yeah, man, I had a cramp in here not too long ago, and
you hit the ground.
Almost couldn't get it together around here. He tore it off the bone, boy. Last thing he needs is Cooper Rush.
Oh, yeah.
That's the last thing he needs is Cooper Rush to get in.
Yeah, don't
get in here and get going.
Don't let Cooper Rush and CD Lamb develop any kind of chemistry.
He can't play dead in a horror movie.
Because I mean, think about it. Everything in Dallas right now is being questioned from top to bottom. So you think that's not going to be a conversation piece?
It'll be
as ridiculous as it is.
It'll be a conversation piece that is annoying, and that's why I just say he better not. But I mean, they signed that contract, Jack.
They're probably committed.
I'm saying what I'm saying.
Yeah, they ain't sitting him down. They committed to this thing. So that is the latest, Dak. Damn. Sure, I'll go to Michael Parsons' podcast to get his true feelings on it.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure he will.
Yeah, he can't help himself.
I mean,
he cannot help himself at all.
He'll say, "I'll let me list the top 5 quarterbacks with the strongest hamstrings," and that's probably why. Well, Dak was out of Josh Allen one. He likes to do quarterback lists and not include his.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
And doesn't lead it off with, "Hey, I'm taking my quarterback."
Yeah, I was hoping he just don't include his. Do you think maybe on episode 1, I got to go back and look, maybe he prefaced that a long time ago. Hey, when I talk quarterbacks, I'm going to leave Dak out of it because I'm obviously biased.
No, I don't think he did.
Feels like he might be more biased against.
I think he's just being honest in his mind. This is my opinion. My opinion.
Don't tell me what I'm saying. Okay.
5 o'clock fire.
Ooh, Jerry. All right, here is the injury report. We told you earlier, Will Anderson did not practice with that ankle. And this is a lengthy list. And it is interesting to the point that you made earlier, Brandon, is, hey, man, they've been off since Thursday evening. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
I've heard it referred to as a mini bye.
It's a mini bye. 10 days before the game. Here is the list. Did not practice. Will Anderson Jr., defensive end. Derek Barnett, defensive end. Did not practice. Foley Fatakasi, groin shoulder. Added a groin to that shoulder issue he's been struggling with. Did not practice. Kenyon Green, who's out for the year, did not practice. Dylan Horton, illness. Let's hope he's good.
You just made the list!
Did not practice, as well as Damian Pierce, who missed the last game. He did not practice. Now limited in practice. Some good news here. Azeez Alshire did practice. I saw tape of him moving around. Jake Hansen did practice with that ankle. Jerry Hughes is back. He practiced with the hip. Shaq Mason practiced but was limited. Jeff Okuda, who is back, he practiced but was limited with that quad. And Jimmy Ward, back in the fold, he practiced with a groin and was limited. And for some reason, Laremy Tunsil showed up with the designation on his injury of rest.
They hit the money sign again?
Yeah, just a little extra rest. A little bit more rest. They did not rest enough over the last 6 days.
You know, old Clint Sterner was way out ahead of the pack on his frustration with this regarding Laremy Tunsil, but I'm catching up. This is starting to really, really grind my gears anytime this kind of thing happens.
And this don't even make sense.
Hey, it's got to be in the contract, right? Like, we don't have access to the wording. It's got to be in the contract.
Pick up your lunch pail and go to work, dude.
Nope, it's in the contract.
And nobody have no damn lunch pail.
It's in the bylaws.
Not no more. I got a lunch. He got a bag. Pick up your Gucci and take your ass on. That's what you got to say. Now, this what I'm saying don't make sense is it is rest, but he was limited in practice. What that mean?
That math don't math.
Was it that he just didn't practice? What kind of rest? Like, rest is usually I'm chilling. What rest? What did he run through stretches?
Yeah, he stretched.
He did the shuttle run a few times.
So that counts as limited.
He did the electric slide.
He did the sit and reach for a little bit out at practice.
Yeah, he was rest. Rest, but limited. He
did good enough to like, make the presidential award.
Jumping jacks.
I tell you, I saw Azeez Alshire, and his limited was him in drills back and forth fully padded.
Meanwhile, Laramie's got a honey bun.
No, that's not what he eat. Laremy was rest.
I mean, no judgment. I love honey buns.
What snack do you think he likes? He goes honey bun.
Oh, man, I should
I'm
going to
step
this.
Out. I think he's a little different. I'll go Star Crunch. 713
You stayed with Little Debbie, though.
Yeah, 713-5-764-610. What snack do you think Laremy Tunsil eats? Tyler said honey bun with icing. Brandon is still mulling.
No,
I'm going to go ice. I think he's a cinnamon roll kind of guy, but with the icing.
Cinnamon roll the with one, the icing.
Yeah, the ones those Texas deal.
You
know what I'm talking about?
Two of them.
Yeah. I think he's one of those.
Let you run them bad boys in the microwave just for 30?
Ooh.
If you would have had a full practice day, I would have guessed Nutty Buddies, but only real ones eat those.
I'd like a good Nutty Buddy.
Those are so good.
Dip it in some ice cream. But that's Laremy Tunsil with a little rest. Also, to look at this, again, though, Alshire, I think, is the biggest one that you hope is trending to be back. And also, the other one with Jeff Okuda, I want to see if they're going to play. That's my thing, because I you cannot convince me. No, not on today's earth. You cannot convince me that those other guys, who is it, Ross and Boyd, they aren't at least better in coverage. In coverage than Petrie and Eric Murray, and they don't never see the field. Just I'm talking about in coverage on a third, like against a third receiver, they never see the field. And the only reason why Ross did is because
Kamara got hurt.
But still, even with what he did, he got lit the hell up in that Packers game. But even what he did, it is still better than what Jalen Petrie brings to the table and Eric Murray when you're talking about coming to third receiver. So I want to see if they would actually play Jeff Okuda.
I feel like at the very least, they have to see what it feels like the other teams are seeing, right? Like, does it not seem like it, forget what we're saying, because it's and it does feel like these other teams are validating what we're saying. But if you just watch the games, it feels like the opponents have designated or have pointed out Jalen Petrie, the safeties that they have covering wide receivers. They've pointed these cats out as food. Like, they have identified the food.
I mean,
and they're going after it.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers walked over, changed the whole play.
So what does it take for the Texans themselves to see what it appears everybody else is seeing, and then what is the action after that? To me, it should lead us to Jeff Okuda seeing the field, or somebody seeing the field. And at the very least, like, to protect your defense.
The only thing that I can think
from being exploited
is they don't trust Ross and Boyd. That's the only thing for you to look out there and say, yeah, I'm going to take the chance in the fourth quarter of the game on the line that Jalen Petrie's locked up 1-on-1 with Devontae Adams and or Garrett Wilson. Yeah. You just don't trust them.
It is either a lack of trust with them or too much trust in the guys that are playing or a miscalculation of the things that they're able to do.
Just a quick update here. Zebra cakes seems like to be the resounding answer.
Cakes. Zingers.
I've seen that a couple of times.
Zingers.
A big thing of fudge. Someone text in as well. If you're missing it, what snacks do you think Laramie Tunsil goes with? I said that he goes with the Star Crunch. Tyler said he goes with honey bun, no icing. And then B. Scott said those Texas something cinnamon rolls. You know what they come in. It's a double blocker is what it is. He goes with that. Many of you are texting in. Someone texting Fig Newton's not a chance.
He's past the Fig Newton
summer
generation.
Summer sausage and cheese. That's a good thought. Damn, that sounds good.
That sounds really good.
Fig identify yourself. Fig Newton, he's not your grandmother.
Sounds good. Hey, my youngest, what Nicholas, the hell? He's four. He loves Fig Newton.
Does he really?
When I was a kid, I did.
Get him that snack.
Because he's been spending time with your mom?
That's cool.
That's himself?
Shout out to the learning spirit.
And they'll keep you regular.
Hello.
Yeah, that is true.
He does that.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Rockets host the Spurs, as you said earlier, Brandon, for the 17th or 18th time.
Feels like it.
They host them tonight. We'll see what Wimby. They play him pretty well.
Yeah.
To be honest, and Alfie, clearly, he really steps up in those games and in those matchups. I got to say, man, I know it's seven games in, and we've had this conversation, and I'm not ready to say it yet, but I will be a man and admit if I was wrong about Jalen Green.
Is that my boy Ron?
But it looks awfully, awfully convincing, and it looks like it doesn't look like it's hard the way he is playing, and it looks like something has come about because it is not just a pop-up game, but each game he seems to have control. He seems to know what he's doing. It looks very convincing that he has turned the corner.
All-star season loading. Like, I think he is playing, and whether he actually makes the all-star game is his own point or its own issue. But he is playing like an all-star. Like, he is playing like the best player on a team that could be a winning team, that could win some games. Now, the Rockets are stuck in the mud of a bunch of 4-3 teams right now. Like, they haven't played enough basketball to really make anything of the standings. But Jalen Green, to your point, Ron, is playing like the guy that you drafted him to be, number two overall, and that you just paid in the 11th hour right before the season started. Like, he is living up to that. You are getting that type of, even his not so good games or less than efficient games still look like, you're saying, in control, making good decisions. I remember even that first game, I heard you guys criticizing him for jacking up shots and continuing to take them, even though it wasn't a good shooting game.
Oh, that 5-for-15 performance.
That was an awful, awful, awful showing. But the shots themselves, except for one or two, did not have much of a problem with. I thought it was mostly good decisions. It was just the jumper was broke that night. But even when it's broke, he's finishing better at the rim, around the basket.
Yeah, but
he's taking on the challenge defensively.
I was going to say he's starting to get a real feel of when of what he should do. Like the Dallas game, there was a real feel of no, it's not time to shoot step backs. He started to force himself to the rim and got an and one and got to the line.
And he's finished, like I mentioned that. He's finishing better at the rim. That matters a lot.
That was a big thing. And it's still early, but it does look like roles are starting to be kind of falling into place. It's clear like he is kind of the one right now. And it's not a one just because he's shooting, you know, 30 attempts. It's a one because he's getting people involved. He's doing... He's making really good basketball plays, and it seems like they're falling to that. And then, you know, Alpi is starting to kind of fall in line. It's the two. We're starting to see, to me, and maybe, like I said, it's early, but starting to see, like, who things are going through more.
I think Rockets fans have wrestled with going into this season trying to decide how do the Rockets improve, become a playoff team with essentially the same team that they had last year. They got mostly the same guys. The way to do it is having a different Jalen Green. This version of Jalen Green, the March version of Jalen Green from last season, as opposed to what you were getting this time last year. That is going to be the biggest difference, or would be the biggest difference, between them being what they were a year ago, which was fine, the turnaround that they had, and actually being a playoff team.
It ain't just Sengun holding Wimby. Dylan Eason plays factors containing him. Jalen scored 10 points in the fourth quarter versus the Knicks. Showed up when it mattered. We got an NBA fan listening.
There you go.
Shout
out. What up, baby?
Hey, who's from Pines?
We got one.
I'm so happy.
We got him.
I could do this all day. Hey, text back in. We can talk all day, buddy.
We got him. We're not. Unfortunately, we're not going to do that.
No, we're not.
But we got him. All right, coming up.
Underestimate the heart of a champion.
Big game. The world to see. You were embarrassed. And in your words, looked embarrassing on national TV last Thursday. CJ Stroud, you're up Sunday night. We'll discuss that coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Just an update to the people here on what snacks you think Laramie Tunzel would eat. I said Star Crunch. Tyler said Honey Bun, no icing. And those, we got to get a name on those Texas cinnamon rolls, whatever those are called. I mean, that's the one you pick. Could you figure it out? B. Scott had those little cinnamon rolls. They're like the long one, Texas something.
They're called Big Texas.
Big Texas.
Yeah, you got a photo of it.
Yeah. These bad boys.
Yeah, that's it.
Big Texas.
Coming to the text. Coming from the text line, Dove ice cream, fancy cakes. Not familiar. Apple pie. Wonder Bread stuffed with peanut butter.
Hey, it ain't apple pie. Let me just tell you that now. All right.
Fruit roll ups, Oreos and milk. Honey buns with a slice of cheese heated on it. What?
A slice of cheese? Are you okay?
Boudin and animal crackers. If it's the animal crackers that are the pink and white icing with the sprinkles on it, I can do them all day.
They would have to have
with
that.
With boudin?
Not with boudin.
Not with boudin, man. Okay. Are you okay?
No, I thought that's what you were saying. I was
but tell you, animal crackers, they got to have, because that is a plain-ass snack without water. Some kind of works on it.
I'd work up, my white chalk all around my lips after eating them bad boys. You know, Dairy Queen made that a blizzard. Well, I've rolled up in the Oh, yeah, I rolled up in
that. Still have not tried that.
Multiple.
And I love those pink and white animal crackers.
I'm 5 to 10 times I've had it.
Those are actually printed as cookies. The crackers come in that spicy circus box.
Is it closer to 10 or 5?
Like if you were rounding, would you be rounding up or down?
we're probably closer to 10. Probably closer to 10. Yeah, man. There was a couple of times I just made stops. There was one I found that was between here and home. That was a good, or here and somebody's practice. One of these kids' practice. Well, I went over there. They turned it upside down on me. Get in there, knock that sucker off before they got to practice.
You had that banana pudding shake from Chick-fil-A?
Don't like bananas.
Huh.
But I've heard people say it's good. I do not like bananas.
It is sinfully good.
I think my mom said it was good. Somebody said spicy hummus. He's bougie. I don't think he's eating spicy hummus.
That would be a disappointment.
Thought I saw Laramie at Trader Joe's.
Beef jerky? He seemed like he'd be a beef jerky type.
That's my number one go-to snack at the house.
Beef jerky?
Yep. I keep a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky at the house at all times.
I got some on my console right now. As soon as I got the studio.
That's not mine. All right. Sunday, CJ Stroud. He's got three straight, right? Three straight games on national TV.
Yeah.
Thursday night against the Jets didn't go well. And he's got Sunday night against the Lions, and then he faces Cooper Rush on Monday Night Football. And I'm sure Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are now thrilled of this matchup.
Oh, they can't wait.
Can't wait. But he's got three. Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night. The next two weeks. This is a big week for him, because I think right now he is still if people started to say top seven, top 10 quarterbacks, I think people still easily include CJ Stroud.
Yeah,
he's a couple of weird performances, whether it's his fault or not. He's a couple weird performances away from maybe the narrative changing, and I'm not saying it's all his fault, right? Like I think obviously he got hit so many times against the Jets and had 8 sacks, but there's also he missed John Metchie wide open in the end zone. Yep. I'm talking about what people have replayed and said. I know I believe it was Ryan Clark or somebody after the game for ESPN when they were breaking it down, saying, "Oh, Damian Woody, it was." He's missed him right here open. There was a lane. Like, they're starting to bring that up. If he starts having these weird games, like, you can see some slippage on where people view him.
And
he's wide open, CJ.
I think that the excuses can be valid, and the issue could be a byproduct of what's going on around him. Like, it could be because the play calling is less than ideal, because the pass protection is less than ideal. But if he doesn't find a way to overcome it, or if collectively they don't find a way to overcome all of these other issues on the offense, within the offense, it is going to reflect mostly on, because look, the conversation pieces are not going to be centered around the Texans offensive line forever, right? Eventually you're going to come back to the star figure, to the main character, and that is always going to be, especially when we're talking about a player of this caliber, that is always going to be the quarterback. That is going to be CJ Stroud.
Because people view him after last year as a fixer.
Yeah.
Like as a guy that comes in and you know, can fix certain things, because he was last year.
Yeah.
They're all fixable. Like,
their offensive line was supposed to be worse last year, I think.
And I still.
And at certain moments.
I still think he is a fixer.
Well, I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying that will. That's why I think the expectation, as you said, the offensive line and Bobby Slowick, that is going to eventually, not here, but that is going to eventually maybe nationally move over.
And I think the big difference is, of course, we're closer to it. We watch it up close. We pretty much watch every snap that he takes. But the national audience is kind of just dropping in, checking in, see what it looks like.
And they all drop in and check. They dropped in Thursday and saw that.
Yeah.
All right, he's running for his life. But if they drop in the next 2 weeks and it's similar.
And to me, the same way, I think it took a little while for folks to catch on to what CJ was doing. Like, they didn't have any nationally televised games until the very end, right? No primetime games until the very end when they flex one. But they don't start really paying attention until he has that back-to-back of Tampa and Cincinnati. And then everybody kind of starts turning their heads a little bit like, oh, what's going on down there with CJ Stroud? So not a whole lot of attention on them. It took a while for people to catch on to what CJ was doing. Well, now they got way more attention, and then they got all of these primetime games. You give them two in a row, a team that they, people being honest, really didn't watch a whole lot of last year, getting to watch plenty of them this year, and you get back-to-back performances like the one against the Jets, and if it's not good enough against the Lions, yeah. No, I think it is a big week for CJ to make sure that at the very least, I don't know how much you're elevating because people have already put him up on a pedestal.
Yeah.
But at the very least, to keep it at bay, to keep it kind of the status quo of the way people are looking at CJ Stroud, I think he at the very least has to go out there and have a decent game. Even if they lose it, it can't be because CJ was missing out wide open receivers or not maximizing and being somebody that lifts them up as opposed to sinking with the ship.
Yep. Coming up, is Alex Bregman by far the number one priority that they have to bring back for the Astros? We'll hear what the general manager had to say about it coming up next.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Here in just a bit, he's got some ready for you, trying to get over the 50% mark. So let's
what's up, team money.
There it is. Let's see if he can pull that off. Here was general manager for the Houston Astros, Dana Brown, talking about how serious they are and where he believes they are in terms of their chances to getting Alex Bregman to remain a Houston Astro.
Yeah, we've had a lot of discussions with Scott Boras, multiple conversations. So we hope that they've been productive, and we're hoping that some good things happen.
Do you feel like you have a decent chance?
I think we have a really good chance.
All right, that is that's Dana Brown, and it seems that they are going after trying to bring back Alex Bregman. It seems like that is a priority. Earlier, he had also said it's a priority to get him back at third base. They want to bring him back. And, if they don't, if they're unable, they'll cross that bridge. But it seems like their priority is Alex Bregman. And for me, I would just say this feels like a thing of Alex Bregman should be at a place as he's 31. Like, he should be at least close to get market value, and the market value we're hearing is 6 to 7 years at the highest. 7 years, 189 is what someone projected. You better go ahead and get that money.
Yep.
And I think he should go and get that and try to get that if it's market value. And to me, the Astros should not pay Alex Bregman that type of money. To me, if they're going to come in lower, I think Alex Bregman should throw up the deuces because he should get market value. And if that's what he is holding on, 6 or 7 years up into that range, I just think, to me, the Astros should move on and try to figure out a different way to make their team better and maybe their third base position may lessen, but maybe they go out and get a real center fielder. Maybe they go out and get a real corner outfielder to go along with Kyle Tucker and somebody that could be there when Kyle Tucker eventually probably leaves. Like, I think there is something that they can do to add to their team, but he's 30. He'll be 31 when the season starts. I just can't roll 6 and 7 more years with Alex Bregman, because I not only do I believe we've seen the best of Alex Bregman, which is what, 2019? I think we're far from that. I don't even know if next year he'll be able to replicate what he did this year, which was big, you know, Silver Slugger finalist and Gold Glove winner. So I just, 6-7 years for him, up in the upper 180s, 190s, I just don't think that's the right move.
I would do the 6 or 7 years and bank on the 3 to 4.
Woo! Like, love that money.
I'm doing it, and it's bad money on the back end. I'm admitting that on the front end, that it is bad to be paying a 38-year-old third baseman the kind of money that you could be paying Alex Bregman. I am not defending that part of the deal, and I get the discomfort with doing a deal like that. But the Astros, for me, are about the present. They are about the near future. And really, they've done not a good enough job of developing young talent to make you feel good about 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the line. I feel good or decent enough about the Astros right now, at least being in the mix. I understand that it did not work out the way a lot of folks, a lot of Astros fans were hoping it would work out this year. But to me, Alex Bregman, like, you can say what you want, the numbers will bear it out and will show you, he is still a top 5 player at his position. Still a top 5 player at his position. He is not as good as 2019. I agree with your point that we're not getting the 2019 Alex Bregman back. I have long given up on that idea. But in terms of getting quality play at third base, the first couple of months of the season notwithstanding, which is its own problem, I don't feel good about whatever the...
You have concerns that they can continue to compete at the level you want them to compete without an Alex Bregman.
And not just that, everything else that you laid out...
You don't trust him, Joker.
All of the reasons why you say, hey, they should put money in this and they should put money in that. I don't feel like they're going to... When was the last time it felt like they took the center field position seriously? Hadn't been probably since you've been here, since George Springer left.
No, but I mean, but
you know what I'm saying?
They have had different spots. Like, George Springer left in center field, and they try to go with Miles, the fastest guy in the world, or I'm sorry, in all of Houston, in the history of Houston, Carl Lewis stepped back. But they tried to go there. But I don't think they replaced center field, but they replaced it in right field with Kyle Tucker.
Kyle Tucker was already there.
But Kyle Tucker, when you talk the production, the bat, they replaced it with Kyle Tucker. Like, I think there's another place, because yes, third basemen are hard, and I think that's why he is potential to make so much money. Would you say he's a top 5 third baseman?
Yeah, but they need to acquire a replacement. That's what I'm saying. Kyle Tucker was already in line to become player.
What I'm saying is the production that he brings may shift to another position. They're like another position that is weaker.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you don't have guys like that. They had a pipeline of more talent coming up. It was like, okay,
yeah, but
you're losing this. Well, you still got this young guy that's going to develop into this. They have not done a good enough job of just bringing in talent.
But clearly, now I'm not saying they won't have to make a move in free agency, but they would have to make a move in free agency. What I'm saying is there are other options around in free agency that aren't as expensive as where you could, with the money you were going to have to spend on him and the money that you now had that you're not spending on Verlander, although it sounds like they're at least talking to him, like you could get a power hitting corner outfielder that doesn't cost you 7 years, 189. You could get a power hitting outfielder and, you know, a solid third baseman that doesn't have the bat like he does, but is a solid player. I think they can fill the void and not have to be on the hook for 6 or 7. Cause you know, like, you already know you're going to be dealing with an aging player in Jose Altuve, who's going to make money, and that's fine. He's the best player in the history of the organization, and you take that. You want him to break all his records. maybe it's 3,000, hit all of that here in an Astros uniform. I don't know if you're doing that for two folks.
Yeah, I would sing a different tune if I felt better about that thing happening, like the production showing up somewhere else, them spending the money in a different place, maybe having a valid backup plan to Alex Bregman, maybe somebody that was in the farm system that we had heard of, which we don't have that. So, like, we have reached a point, for me at least, in the Astros' life cycle or in their contention window to where I do not feel like they can afford to downgrade the roster to battle the war of attrition with, hey, we're losing our best players, but we'll just pick it back up here. They're not in that space. And Alex Bregman is going to be one of the better, not the best, but one of the better free agents out there that'll be available to you. So, like, to me, I don't know how much better of a baseball player they're going to find anyway. It would make sense to just go with the guy that you got. I don't love paying him at 38 or 39, but if it helps you stay a contender through his years 34, then I'll take that.
All right, coming up behind us, Texans All Access. GM Nick Caserio will be live at 6 o'clock. Stay tuned for that. Also, defensive tackle, the one that didn't get traded, Kurt Heinisch. He is in the building. Shout out to Khalil Davis. God, man, Blue Springs High School, man. Damn it. Kurt Heinisch will join the fellas. And then after that, from 8 to midnight, Area 45, Sean Bajani and Patrick Creighton. You know what? Jake didn't win the Gold Glove. I told him I would buy him a bottle if he did. He didn't. But you know what? I might buy him a bottle anyway. I might buy him, you know, not a great one. Not a great one like I was going to get him.
Ron Hewley.
Maybe that four rows single barrel, what I was leaning towards. But, I mean, I may get him a lower whiskey.
That'd be nice of you.
Nice to him.
Show some real teamwork, some real support for your coworker there in Patrick Creighton.
Yeah, someone texted in, Ron literally just said, don't sign Bregman and do the Jose Abreu type move again. No, that's not what I said. I didn't say go sign an old-ass first baseman. There are younger free agents that are out there.
Yeah. Open them ear holes.
I don't feel like you lost your damn mind.
That can do
sometimes, but like that, not
that,
this time.
That you can do that with. I didn't say that whatsoever. All right, let's do it. Let's get T-Mill's best bets. Let's hear them.
Yes, sir. We are back on it. All NBA bets for you tonight. A lot of NBA action going on. I know you two fellas know that.
No, a moment.
Do this how we always do. I got six bets for you. My best bets for NBA games tonight. And then B. Scott and Ron, they will pick one that they like the best. Real quick, Kings, -6.5 first half. I like the Hornets, +2 in the entirety of that game tonight. And then I got four player props. I've been killing these NBA player props, by the way. Chris Paul, over 11.5 points. He's going to be in Houston. Feel like that's a type of dude like to show out against a former team in one way or another. Over 11.5 points for Chris Paul. I got Cunningham, under 7.5 assists. Cade Cunningham, under 7.5 assists. Jalen Duren, under 11.5 rebounds for that fella. And then Jason Tatum of the Celtics. I am on the over 5.5 assists for that Boston Celtic tonight. What y'all think, boys?
I let me tell you, I like, my favorite is the under on Cade Cunningham on 7.5 assists. He's averaging 7.4, basically 7.5.
Yep.
I've hit a few of his assist props this year.
But I think he is going to be in a potential head-to-head, I can outdo you, LaMelo Ball type of a ball game, and I feel like this is going to be a night that Cade tries to get up shots.
Yeah.
because of LaMelo Ball in that game.
You said the points on Chris Paul was 11?
11.5, and I'm on the over.
Yeah, I'd go to the over on that, too. Chris Paul, I think, is good for
my favorite one.
12 to 14 points tonight against the Rockets. I could absolutely say, and unlike the other games that were in San Antonio.
I think that's around he's averaging, like 11 or so.
Yeah. He's averaging 12.
So I think that's
probably why that line is right there. But playing in Toyota Center, third time against the Rockets, I think he's good for 12.
Follow me to the money. Let's ride.
All right, B. Scott, really appreciate you jumping in with us. Had fun with you today. Needed that one. Needed that one.
Yeah, man.
Clint Sterner will be back tomorrow. I believe, yeah, he'll be back tomorrow with us. Tyler, great job as always. And the listeners, great job as always as well. I am Ron Hughley. Houston, we love you, baby.
Seemed impossible to fail.
I just said at least
I am going to shut that down.
You got one, and I will take it.
No. I am shutting that down by rejecting the notion that being nominated for an Academy Award is in any way validation. I just do not accept the validity.
Do you have an A-list actor?
No,
but you think that?
But that's not how A-list works for me.
I know. I hear what you're saying, but I think every A-lister. That's why I don't believe Wesley Snipes is. I think every A-lister would fall in that category.
This is America, Jack.
That is. That is at least fit.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.